Thanks for listening to Pick Your Battles. I'm Kayla.
And I am Dana. Kayla, you want to introduce our guest and how
I sure do.
So we got here?
I found our guest today on Threads. If you don't know what Threads is, it's basically Twitter for Instagram. And I, so far, am a big fan. It's such a great community, and it's like catered towards your audience, and it's just been so much fun for me to play with. And it's actually how I connected with our next guest, Linda. And Linda is a children's author. So Linda, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's Threads is amazing. I just recently found it myself. I love it. It's the type of community that we're all hoping for on the other social medias, but we don't seem to get.
So Linda, tell us about yourself and what you do and all that good stuff.
Well, prior to writing children's books, I was a nurse for about 13 years in long-term care until COVID hit and I got COVID. Okay. Prior to that, I was in early child development as a teacher at a child care center. And this past September, while walking in a crosswalk, I was hit by a pickup truck, sustained a brain injury, along with other injuries. And during that recovery process, I kept having a recurring dream of a little mouse named Clover. I could see her area where she lived, her forest and her houses, her friends. And each night the dream just kept going with little things that she would be doing with her friends. And I started writing it all down and turned it into the children's books that I have now.
Cool.
I had to find an illustrator who could bring what I saw exactly how I saw it to life. And I was lucky enough to find an illustrator to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have a quick question. We're based in Michigan. Where are you based in?
I'm in New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Okay. East Coast. Beautiful.
Yeah. We just got out of a heat wave.
We're still in it.
Yeah. It's not so bad. I'm sitting outside right now and it's like not terrible yet. But I think today's only going to be in like the high 80s, but there's definitely been days. It's just like the humidity is just the worst part.
Yeah.
It just like kind of takes your breath away a little bit. But anyways, okay, so New Hampshire. So what I guess my first question is, so what brought you to like early child care?
I have three of my own. They're all adults now. The oldest being 29, the youngest being 25. So, and middle one being 28. did them young and done.
young and done. I love it. Young and done.
But I've always loved children, always loved doing games with them and reading books to them. So it's always been something. Children's books, I just love. I've always kept my collection from my own childhood. I've kept my children's collection. And if I'm in a bookstore and I see a children's book, I currently don't have any children to read them to, but I still buy them anyways because I enjoy them.
Yeah, that's awesome. So before you wrote this book, did you ever see yourself wanting to do that? Or was that just something?
I never saw myself writing, never imagined it. It was just a very strong creative moment where it had to get down on paper. It had to be written. So once I got all the stories down on paper, it the dreams pretty much went away. So really? It was like, it had to get out. Yeah. I no longer have any dreams about Clover.
Let me out. Get me out of here.
So what is the name of your book?
They are woodland animals. Well, the first book is Welcome to Winterberry Grove. And that's just an introduction that goes around and introduces you to all the different animals and their houses and what they like. And then the next book that I have out is How Clover Spends Her Winter. And it just follows her around in her daily life. I have a third one that's currently with the illustrator that will be coming out in the next few months.
What is the process like of writing a children's book aside from having, you know, being hit by a truck and having a traumatic brain injury?
Yeah, well, Well, not everybody's going to, I'm sure, start writing books if they get a head injury, but definitely knock the creativity into mine. But after writing it down and thinking it was great, annoying my family to death by reading it and changing it up and being like, okay, now what do you think? Then I reached out on Fiverr to find an editor, got the book edited, and started the search of finding an illustrator. Again, I went on Fiverr and had an illustrator. So it was difficult to find because there's a lot of people out there that use computer software, AI, to do that type of thing. And I didn't want that. I wanted watercolors. I wanted something from my own childhood. I wanted it to be muted and relaxed and calming. So,
wow.
And I was able to find somebody, and she does an amazing job. She hand sketches it and uses watercolors.
That's awesome. So what was the conversation between you and your illustrator like? Because you had this
yeah.
vision.
Yeah. All the,
like already.
That was difficult. That was difficult. It's very difficult for somebody to tell you, no, that doesn't work, or you can cut that out. You're running on too much, too descriptive. It was like, I love it. I want it like this. But you have to trust them. You have to trust them that they know what they're doing, that and just go with it. So it was about 3 revisions going back and forth. She would change something up and be like, what do you think of this? And I'd be like, I really like that part. Let's put it back. Or, yeah, okay, great. You know, I really like what you did with it, so let's keep it. And with children's books, it's sad to see that they're really not as important as they once were when I was a child. And I'm guessing that's, you know, with my age, we didn't have all the screen time. You didn't have iPads, and cars did not have televisions in the back seat for kids to watch. You know, we didn't have video games. So, and actually, when I think about it, we only had things to watch early in the morning. By 9 a.m. every day, it went on to other programs for adults to watch. So you had to make yourself busy. So children's books were more popular when I was a child. Whereas now it seems that it's easy to just give them their iPad and let them veg out. But it's so important that they do the reading. It's the foundation of all learning, is having a love of reading. If you don't like reading, you're not going to do very well with everything else that follows. You're not going to want to read your history book or anything else. And scientists have shown that reading is an active activity, whereas watching television is a passive one for your brain. So when you're reading, you're doing all kinds of things. Your brain has to take those little squiggles on the paper, turn it into letters, form a word, figure out the sentence and what the meaning is behind it. Whereas when you're just watching the television, it's a visual experience.
Right.
And they're finding that children's brains are actually changing from watching television. The gray matter is actually shrinking, which can lead to dementia later on, causes aggression. They're noticing a rise in aggression issues. Whereas reading actually grows that gray matter along with other areas.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I'll say, you know, with my 1.5-year-old son, he wasn't talking to the level that my daughter was when she was that mm-hmm. age. And I brought it up with his pediatrician. And that was the first thing she said, was just read him books, read him all the books that you can all the time. And so we already were reading to him, you know, at night or a few times during the day, but we upped it since then and seen such a big jump in his ability to communicate and putting sounds and words together. And I agree, like even when they're newborns and infants, it's so important just to sit there and read with them, because it's one, it's a way to connect with them and bond with them. It can calm them down. Like you said, their frustrations and their aggressions kind of lessen when they can calm and just sit there and hear their parents' voice.
Yeah.
And now my almost 3-year-old is to the point where we have like 5 books that she can quote unquote read to me, because so many times we turn the page and she says everything that's on that page. Is she reading? Yeah. No, but it's really cool that she's memorized it to that point where, who knows, in, you know, 8 months, she might be able to recognize the words and put them together. So yeah, I agree. It's super important.
Yeah, reading comprehension with the picture books is so amazing because the child can look at the pictures, and then as the parent is reading, they're starting to get a connection because the pictures should almost match. You know, the pictures should tell the story without the words. And so when they're looking at the pictures, they're comprehending what exactly you're reading to them and that these are words and what these words actually mean because they're seeing it. So it's like a dual stimuli that's happening between what they're hearing and what they're visually seeing.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I admittedly hate reading. I am not a reader, never have been, never will be. Let's put it, I mean, I'm 34. So at this point, no, but I'm also very dyslexic. So for me, reading was always a task. It was always more work than it should be, or than I like wanted it to be. So I don't have like a great relationship with reading, but I try with my son at least at night. But because I guess for me, I just need to take like my own disdain for it and like help him. He does love to read, and I mean, I can read a children's book, like, you know, I'm not illiterate, but
proud.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's just sometimes like at night, I just like don't want to read five books. Like, it's just sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, and I mean, I'm sure they're not like Kayla, I'm sure they're not, you know, more than like what, 10 pages or something. Like they're like, are they like, oh, they're big books. Oi.
I mean, they're not like chapter books, but she loves the Bluey books and they're it's 5 minute stories. Listen, I can only tell you the amount of time as I've read some of those Bluey books. I could literally close my eyes and read it all.
Yeah, like I just.
Or you can also get your son, because I understand when you have dyslexia, you're looking at those words and your brain is not seeing them the way that my brain is. So, you know, it's going to make it more difficult for you, definitely. But you can still engage with children, even with that, by doing like an I spy on each of the pages. You know, you're looking at the pictures and you're saying, what do you see? And sort of put it more into that child's hands of having them tell you a story. They can create their own story out of the pictures. So it doesn't have to be read word for word. You can still be interacting. You can still get them to love the book. And actually you can take the book that they've been reading 50 times and change it up by looking at the illustrations and pointing things out that maybe have been missed. That's
for
the
sure.
Great thing about engage with imagination and see what else they can come up with and asking questions.
Yeah.
I love that.
That is a good idea. I remember I was out visiting one of my friends in Portland, and very similar to, it sounds like, to Mason, like they read the same books. Like these are the stories that he likes. They get, you know, books from the library, and like, this is the, you know, however long they have the book for, this is their nightly routine. And so I was visiting, I was putting him to sleep, and I was reading the books, and he like totally called me out because I would like, if the word was where, and I like said the word wrong, he was like, Auntie Dana, that's not the word. And I like looked at his mom. I was like, can you explain dyslexia to this child? Like, he was like, that's not right. And I was like, okay, I can't read to you anymore. Like, you're totally calling me out. But similarly, like, I was like, wow, like you really know this book. Like you have memorized it. Like you are attached to every word. So it was just really funny. I was like, damn, like, did I say that? I believe you. I'm sure you're calling me out because that's like who you are as a person. You're very keep people honest kind of kid. But yeah, it was just kind of funny. I had to laugh. She was like cracking up and I was like, sorry, Grayson, I'm not good at the reading.
Over here. That's funny. So Linda, what was it like watching this idea that you had come to life in front of you? What was that process like? What does that feel like now when you see it on a bookshelf?
It's amazing, actually. I've gotten my books into three small independent bookstores around New Hampshire and Massachusetts, so that's pretty exciting. And it's just, it's unbelievable, actually. You know, each time that the illustrator sends me one of the illustrations and it's finished, it's just, it's exciting. It's just like, that's exactly how I saw it. You know, that I don't know how she does it. But that's how she did. She's just so amazing. You know, we did a Pinterest board in the beginning of, I would go through other types of illustration books and I'd be like, this is the style I'm looking for. This is how I see it type of thing. And she just sort of combined up everything. Nice. And I wish I had the talent, but I don't. So.
You stick with the words. She'll stick with the pictures and it'll all be great.
Yeah.
I'll stick with the reading. It'll all be great.
And I'll stick with the talking. And that sounds like a good match for everybody.
So do you more writing or more books in your future?
Yeah, I still have a lot of interest in writing more books. I have been writing a few others that aren't dealing with Clover and her friends. So there are two others that are in the works. I just, whenever something comes to me, I have to write it all down instantly. I know that some authors, they're like, stick to just one. But I feel like if I don't write it down, it's going to be forgotten. And it is. I woke up one day and I had an idea for one and I was like, I'll remember it. An hour later, I couldn't remember what it was. It was awesome. It was wonderful. I'm sure it would have been a bestseller, but it's gone. It never came back.
Don't you hate that.
Is this your full-time job now?
Well, currently I am not working. I'm still recovering from everything that happened. And also we had just moved into New Hampshire. So I have to do a new license if I want to go back to nursing, which I'm not sure I want to do. Mm. But love it to be a full-time job, but it doesn't really pay that well. You put out a lot more than you get back.
Exactly. Yes. Like our podcast. We just do it because we love it.
The thought that there are children out there that have my book and are enjoying it and future generations may have my book and enjoy it is pretty cool. Pretty cool to think about.
Awesome. Where can people find it?
Right now it's on Amazon. So that's the best way of getting it. So I don't have a website at the moment. So I'm not that very technological when it comes to that sort of thing. I do need to figure it out though, because that's the next step, is to get a website and start selling things there. But the best place right now is on Amazon.
That's what everybody uses.
Yep. Yeah. It's very popular. As much as everybody hates it, they love it at the same time.
And the name of the book or the book series one more time?
Welcome to Winterberry Grove and How Clover Spends Her Winter.
So cute. I love the name Clover.
No, that's so cute. Your little brain is doing some work.
It really did. It was very, very funny. It was interesting to see all the dreams.
What does your family think of the books?
They're thrilled. My husband is my biggest cheerleader. Yeah, he's always saying, you know, my wife is a writer. She writes children's books. He shows pictures of the illustrations. And you know, he's always like, you want to buy a book? You want to buy a book?
Yeah, that's so exciting. My really good friend from work is also a children's author, kind of also as a passion project. It's about a little boy on a farm. And she does it because she loves it. It's also not her full-time job. But I was talking to her yesterday and I was like, we're interviewing an author. Like, don't be mad that like you haven't also been interviewed on our podcast yet. And she was like, Dana, I don't care. I was like, okay. But I'm sure there's so many other people out there. Like, I would love to, I always like to know like where the inspiration comes from for these books. So maybe this could be like a series or something.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure there's so many new children's authors that I've been in touch with that have interesting stories about what got them into it and what caused them to write that story.
Yeah,
there's a lot of interest in it.
Nowadays, I think there's so many, like with baby showers and stuff, like it's a cool tradition. Instead of getting a card, like you get a book. Mm-hmm. And gosh, we have so many books. Oh my goodness gracious, we have so many books. And like, I feel like I can't get through them all. Not because I'm dyslexic, but because we have so many books.
Well, that's good. That's good. That's important because there's so many people that aren't taking advantage of that. You know, they're looking at books as being more of a nuisance than of something that's actually important and educational.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And now there's this really cool thing too, on the days, like the rainy days or the cold winter days when nobody can go outside and the kids are losing their mind and I like need a moment to myself. They have on YouTube, like people will read the book and then it'll like turn the page. And like, to me, that's like sweet. Okay. You're listening to a book. I don't have to read it. So like even that, yes, they're still looking at a screen, but like, that's like a sneak around way of like, listen to somebody read the book. Mom's going to go to the bathroom for a second.
Yeah. You know, I do have my first book out on YouTube with Reading with Megan. She read my book.
So this will be audio, but maybe we can have a clip. So tell us like what's behind you. I see like this cute little, is that like an owl?
Yep. That's Arthur the Owl and Clover the Mouse. And I've got the two books up there.
Is that a stuffy? Is that like a stuffed animal owl?
Yes. My children gave me that when the first book came out. So they had that sent off somewhere to be made for me. So, and the little mouse I found, my daughter had it when she was a little girl and it was in a box. So I remembered that I still had it because when we moved here, had to rummage through boxes and figure out stuff. And I remembered, wait a minute, there's a mouse somewhere. So I went rummaging again and I found it.
Oh.
And I was like, here we go. Your name is now Clover.
Maybe that is the Clover.
That could be.
Wow, that's so sweet. I love it. Well, I can't wait to order the books and let us know when the third one comes out because
I will.
Let's have the whole set. All right. Well, Linda, you are so great. Thank you for sharing your story with us and your personal story and your stories. and have a great summer and we'll keep an eye out for your next book.
All right. Thank you so much, ladies. I really enjoyed
one.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I want to write a children's book now?
I think we could do it. Like the whole time I'm like, I could totally write a Dixon Monster book series.
That's right. We did all. Yeah. I remember that. We were like, Dixon Monster should be like a special Fred. Like he's just like, he would be a really good character.
All about diversity and inclusion and special needs.
Totally. Yeah. Would you add that to your list of things to do, please?
Yep. Right. Children. Let me go walk in front of a truck first and then I'll get right on it.
No kidding. Holy Lord. Just remember that it's okay to pick your battles.
And it's okay if you pick the wrong one.